sometimes God opens a window and we can lean out into the world. Sometimes God opens a door and we can journey out to touch creation. Sometimes God opens a heart and we are transformed. Let us come into this time and space of worship, ready for God to open the windows and doors of our lives and even our very hearts. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our brand new website where you can sign up for the link, our email newsletter, and get all sorts of important information about the congregation as well as the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way has meaning for you. We have the playground down front. We've got lovingly staffed nursery care upstairs, and we have godly play after the word for all ages. We gather this morning acknowledging the land we are on, the rocks and waters of this land, the plants and animals of this land, the air we share. We also acknowledge the original people of this land, including the Nipmuc, Pawtucket, and Massachusetts people, and all those who have walked on this land before us, as well as our own ancestors. We remember ourselves as part of a web extending back in time, forward in time, and in every direction in time. For those on site, we have a pantry parade after worship today. We will be journeying across Natick Common to stock the shelves of the Common Good Mini Pantry. The outreach team will get us organized here in the vestry, then we'll celebrate our way over to the mini pantry to stock the shelves. Our next parade is on August 25th, but you can bring donations anytime. We'll have one of our, I forgot the donation basket. Could Declan go get me a donation basket? Declan, that would be such a huge help because we need to have our donation basket here in worship as a reminder to all of us that particularly in the summer, it's hard for families to have enough food because so many of our families rely on their kids getting breakfast and lunch at school, so it's particularly hard in the summer. So that's why we usually have our, have our donation basket down front. And this is a mighty basket, so it has taken a mighty Declan to bring it down front. Reminder to folks, you don't have to wait till our next pantry parade on August 25th. You can bring donations anytime and put them in the pantry basket. Every Sunday at FCC Natick, we light a Christ candle during worship, a reminder of God's presence with us in this time and all times. When someone leaves FCC Natick, we light a Christ candle during worship and send it with them. A reminder of God's presence with them, as well as a symbol of our love. Ken Pierce and Karen Shirley are moving to Kentucky this week. And while we are going to miss them terribly, we want to send our light and love with them. So we light two Christ candles this morning, one that will remain and one that will go. Folks on site, we have some special treats and a card in coffee hour today to celebrate Karen and Ken's new adventure, so hopefully you can join us after worship. And as we prepare to light the Christ candles this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, your body and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. We light these Christ candles this morning knowing we deeply need the grounding, guiding Christ presence today. As individuals and a country, we are absorbing trauma this morning following the shooting of former President Trump and the lives lost at yesterday's rally. May the light of Christ settle our spirits, guide our thoughts, and lead us all in the way of peace. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light." The light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. It guides us to peace. It guides us to compassion. It guides us to justice. Let us welcome the light.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Rick, and please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, "Come as you are." Come, brothers and sisters and siblings.
Come as you are.
Bring your blessings and your burdens.
Come as you are.
God is here all around us.
Come as you are.
Come, let us worship together.
Come as you are.
Amen. Our opening hymn is hymn number 7, "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee." You are invited to rise in body or in spirit. We begin our centering prayer with just a bit of silence, a chance in this noisy world to settle ourselves and remember to breathe and actually be present here and now. Let us pray. God of love, thy kingdom come. To this room, into our sorrows and our joys. thy kingdom come, to Israel and Gaza, where so many continue to suffer, thy kingdom come. To the borders of our country, where children seek a new life, thy kingdom come. To your lands and seas and skies, all too often poisoned and abused, thy kingdom come. To this whole world, that we might finally be what we were created to be, thy kingdom come. The kingdom Jesus called us to help create when he taught us to pray, saying, Our God and who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, for somebody today, you will be the face of God, the hands of God, the voice of God, the compassion of God, the peace of God. God is working through you in the world. What a responsibility, and what a joy. So let's turn to each other online and on site and let that God light shine. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you.
And also
this summer, our Godly Play gatherings are focusing on some of Jesus' parables, old, important, and mysterious stories. And so Reverend Cindy is too. This week, it's the parable of the great pearl from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, 45 and 46. This section of Matthew actually has lots of parables. We'll hear more of them before the summer is over. This is how Matthew chapter 13 begins. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. Then Jesus told the parable of the sower, the parable of weeds and wheat, the parable of the mustard seed. We'll hear that one next week. And the parable of the yeast. Then Jesus told three quick parables in a row, all about the kingdom of heaven, including the one we're focusing on today. Here's what he says. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to wrestle with them.
G
Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages, and I'm just gonna tell you in a minute, you might wanna come over here, but you're all right there for a minute. So at FCC Natick, we are so lucky to have friends in Guatemala, amen? Yes. If you're new, these friends live in the village of Santa Maria Ceja, and there are lots that we could say about them. We could talk about their faith and their history and their strength and their courage, but today we're going to talk a little bit about music and Santa Maria Ceja. Twice a year, folks from the United States go to visit our friends in SMT, including people from FCC Natick. When a group went to visit last February, they brought books and school supplies and a beautiful banner. Another group is getting ready to go down at the end of this month, and they are bringing musical instruments. Alan Clayton Matthews from the Congregational Church of Needham is one of the coordinators of the summer delegation, and he is here to tell us more. And this isn't just a tell, this is a show and tell. So children of all ages might even want to come over here so you can see, but you don't have to. Come on forward, Alan.
Okay, hi, good morning, how are you? How is everyone? How many of you play musical instruments or have older brothers or sisters who do, or parents who do? Anyone? Oh, wow, wow. And do you learn music in school as well? You do. Oh, great. And what music do you learn? Do you learn to sing or what?
We learn to do drums.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, kids in Santa Maria Ceja also learn music in school, and they learn to sing, but there are also three instruments that they're taught to play. One is the national instrument, the marimba. And if you've been to Santa Maria, you've heard the marimba. It's kind of like a wooden xylophone, but it's the national instrument, and they're very proficient players. So the village has a marimba, and kids who are learning that have to share that. So that's not an instrument they can have at home. But they also play the guitar, and there are several guitars in the village, and guitars are taught in the classroom. And the other instrument is the recorder. So how many of you have ever played a recorder? Almost everyone. And most people, when they first play a recorder, they're young and in school, and they play a recorder. So what we're doing this year is we're bringing down a set of recorders, a set of special recorders that are bigger than the ones they usually play. This is it. This is the size of it. Okay. And I'm going to demonstrate just what notes this instrument can play, and then I'll give you a quick demonstration of how you can put those notes together to play a tune. So here's the sort of range of the recorder. As the famous composer Igor Stravinsky observed, you can do anything with those notes. You can put them in any order and make anything you want. So here, if you were in church in Santa Maria Ceja, here is what you might hear in church. Thank you.
What was the name of that song? So Alan told me that in Santa Maria Tseja, they say the Lord's Prayer. They sing the Lord's Prayer to the sounds of silence. We're gonna work on that. We wanna do that here. All right, Alan, if you could hold. Do you mind?
Oh, no.
Okay. Yes. But I'm gonna be here. How about you be here? Okay, I know. And this is the part we didn't practice. So Alan has purchased 20 recorders to bring to the youth of Santa Maria Tseja so that they can make beautiful music together. Now, maybe we can't travel to Guatemala, maybe we can't play the recorder, but we can still bless these instruments and all the lives that they will touch. So, will you get your blessing hands ready? And everybody be ready with me to bless these recorders. Still singing God, bless these recorders as they make the journey to our friends in Guatemala. Bless the fingers that will learn which holes to cover and which to leave open. Bless the breath that will blow all sorts of sounds into the world. Bless the connections that will be made by making music together. May these recorders sound the arrival of a world of justice, compassion, and peace. Amen. Amen. You're going to be hearing more from Alan in a little bit. Thank you, Alan. You want me to take this one? Okay, we'll keep swapping. As our children get ready to head off for godly play, we're so glad that they've been able to learn a little bit about the recorder this morning. Our second reading this morning is from author Raymond Carver's book, A New Path to the Waterfall. Carver wrote the book when he was dying of cancer. This is the last poem in what was his last book. It's short, so Raymond Carver, New Path to the Waterfall, last poem. And did you get what you wanted from this life, even so? I did. And what did you want? To call myself beloved. To feel myself beloved on the earth. One more time. And did you get what you wanted from this life even so? I did. And what did you want? To call myself beloved. To feel myself beloved on the earth. Amen. It began, like beautiful things sometimes do, with pain. A little worm had made its way into the oyster and was damaging the oyster's fragile body. So the oyster covered the worm in nacre, layer after layer, year after year, until the pearl was perfectly round and radiant, giving off a mesmerizing light. The pearl had traveled far to make its way to the marketplace in Jerusalem. Once the merchant saw it, the image stuck in his mind like the worm had been stuck in the oyster, a distraction and desire that brought its own kind of pain. Usually, the merchant scoped out the pearl market to find treasures for his clients, but this he wanted for himself, needed it to be his, and was willing to do whatever it took to have that pearl. I'm quite confident I've never wanted anything as badly as the merchant in Jesus' parable wanted the pearl. He sold everything he had. The kids in godly play in the next few minutes are going to be wondering why the merchant would sell his table, his candle, even his bed, just to buy a pearl. We've heard about being house poor. The merchant is now pearl poor. And actually, we can't even call him a merchant anymore. He has sold off all of his stock and wants the pearl for himself. So he has nothing left to sell and no way to buy more inventory. He's not a merchant anymore. He's just a guy who owns a pearl and nothing else. Now let's remember that Jesus is not a financial advisor or a life coach. He's a prophet and a healer. So his parable isn't a recommendation for pearl merchants everywhere. It is a puzzle for us to play with and see where it connects with our lives. And I'm still struck by the awareness that I've never wanted anything as badly as the merchant wanted the pearl. Which from a financial perspective is good. I have a table and a candle and a bed, not to mention a car and retirement savings. But Jesus' parable really isn't about pearls, of course. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. This world becoming the way God created it to be, a place of justice and compassion and peace. And I am totally a fan of this idea. Amen?
Amen.
The world the way it should be? We want that, yes? But obsessed enough to give up all I have? Let's be reasonable. Forget the great pearl version of the kingdom of heaven. What would it take to get like a nice little freshwater pearl kingdom? What would I have to, now again, okay, not to be sexist, but the men in the room might have been like, what is she talking about? Where the women were like, oh yeah, those ugly little pearls, that's what she means. Okay, what would I have to give up to get like a 25% improvement in justice, compassion, and peace? Actually, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? If the world got just 25% more equitable, more kind, that would actually be revolutionary. But Jesus is not a 25% kind of guy, which is why empire killed him. So his parable asks, what is so important to you that you would give up everything to have it in your life? What is so important to you that you would change who you are, never be a merchant again, if it meant you could have it? You know, that feels like a big question, so let's make it small for a minute. Remember the oyster where the parable started and the little worm in the oyster that got everything going? Little worm that was just looking for a snack and instead became the core of a pearl. It all started with the worm irritating the oyster. It all started with the sense that something wasn't right. It all started with that bit of pain. Is there that same bit of pain in your life? Some discomfort? A sense that something isn't right? Something nudging you toward change? I wonder what pearl is starting to grow in the core of who you are. The powers that be would like you to ignore that discomfort. Cover it up with alcohol or weed, shopping or striving, division and judgment. Don't. Feel the pain. Listen to what it's telling you. Figure out what you need to get rid of to turn that pain into beauty. Maybe, just maybe, if enough of us face that pain, we can thread together a string of pearls that will bring God's kingdom to life. Not one great pearl that does it all, but a community of pearls that together can heal the world. Your pearl of deep listening, your neighbor's pearl of speaking truth to power, his pearl of open-hearted generosity, their pearl of keeping everyone hopeful, pearls of coming up with motivating slogans, pearls of patience and perseverance, pearls of making food to feed the protesters. It won't be easy. There will be a cost. Like there was for the oyster, there will be pain. but there will also be beauty as our string of pearls together create the kingdom of God. Amen. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you will be invited to share your prayers aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org. And we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list that has been available in the link as well as posted in the room. We begin with our joys today. What joys do you bring to this place? Doug.
Unfortunately, my lovely bride is home with a cold, but today's our 45th wedding.
We celebrate that Doug and Sarah are celebrating 45 years of wedded bliss, and we're sorry she's not feeling well. Sarah, if you're watching online, we hope you feel better soon. Other joys this morning. Kirsten. A joy urn. Okay, I was just going to hand you the mic so I don't try to repeat it. Is that? I know we don't usually do that, but is that? Kirsten, everybody.
Karen and Ken are going to Kentucky. Knowing your reasons makes it less sucky. How we will miss you. Please pass a tissue. Having you here, we've sure been lucky.
Are you going to talk?
Yeah, I'm
just going to. Yeah, come on up here, Ken.
So it doesn't fit really with the joy or concern somewhere there else. We've got a lot of excitement going on and a lot of sadness leaving all of you. Karen and I put together a bit of a letter to you, so hopefully that'll come out in the link to describe, you know, a little bit about what this place has felt.
Because I didn't think I could read it without crying.
Yeah, so we will, you know, won't say goodbye as such. We will be returning at times for visit, but we're hoping all of our extended family here, and that's what you are, could come for a visit. We have a lot of room at our lake house. It's going to be really nice. So anytime you're passing through or you need a few days of R&R, we welcome you to Kentucky. Just, you know, share the new adventure with us. And Karen probably put it best. In that we're not really leaving the love that we felt here, we're taking it with us and we're going to share it with others. So thank you very much for everything you've done and the opportunity to be part of this great family.
We're all wearing our derby hats. Other joys this morning.
I've been enjoying so much to have members of the Demon Church
Jeff is celebrating another opportunity to have his two church communities, the church of his childhood, the Congregational Church of Needham, as well as the church of his middle years, First Congregational Church of Natick, together this morning by having Alan and Claudia. You'll be seeing more of Claudia in just a minute. We're grateful to have Janet with us as well, our guest musicians today. Lane, do you have any joys? What concerns do you bring to this place today? Yeah, Sarah Beth.
Oh my goodness, I had another family fall. My 90-year-old aunt fell on the river of Dallas, including Los Angeles.
Is she in Maine, too?
She's in New Hampshire.
Sarah Beth's 90-year-old aunt fell and has broken her pelvis, so Sarah Beth is heading up there. Prayers for healing and recovery and strength for you. Yeah. I have a few concerns from last week that we're not sure they were shared, so we're just gonna, you know, God knows them, but we're just covering them just in case. Sue M., her brother was in a bike accident and injured in a whole bunch of ways. He's been in a trauma hospital. He's now going into rehab for a while. That's in New Mexico. So prayers for Sue's brother. And Marge R., her brother-in-law, John, died. So prayers for Marge's family in the face of that, in the face of that grief. Lane, do you have other? So I have another one. This is, again, one of those sort of joy concerns. There's, we're looking for a foster family or folks who might be able to participate in some foster support for a 15-year-old Natick resident who's trying really hard to stay in the school system. She's a gifted writer, an exceptional student, working so hard. If you just even the thought crosses your mind that maybe you might be interested in being a foster parent, see me and we'll talk about next steps. Other concerns this morning? Robin.
Just keep my neighbor Jen in your prayers. She's grieving the loss of her husband and particularly overwhelmed by everything.
Yeah. So holding Robin and Jeff's neighbor Jen in our prayers, her husband died young and suddenly, and she is understandably feeling overwhelmed by everything. That grief is just a constant depletion as she also tries to take care of her kids. So grateful for the community that surrounds her, and we hold her in our prayers. Did I ask you already? So I've already said something about the country. I wasn't necessarily going to say anything else about the country, except for the entire content of our prayer this morning. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah. So our pastoral prayer this morning will include a call and response. So when you hear me say, God of love, you are invited to respond. May there be compassion. May there be justice. May there be peace. I'll say, God of love. You'll be invited to say, may there be compassion. May there be justice. May there be peace. I invite you also to place your hands over your heart, grounding yourself in the presence of God that dwells within you and within all people. Let us pray. God of love, may there be compassion, may there be justice, may there be peace. So often our world feels dangerous and scary, and there is indeed danger we need to respond to. But sometimes our fear takes over beyond what we need to be safe. God of love, may there be compassion, may there be justice, may there be peace. Help us to tap into a peace that does not pass away, a path to justice that resists violence, a commitment to compassion for all people. God of love, may there be compassion, may there be justice, may there be peace. Show us how to turn toward each other, listening with honesty and patience, holding each other in the worry and pain. God of love, may there be compassion, may there be justice, may there be peace. Fill us with your strength. Fill us with your hope. Fill us with your vision of the world as it can be. Once more, God of love, may there be compassion. May there be justice. May there be peace. Amen. So we have a sort of extended offering invitation this morning. You have already met Alan, and he has brought two other musicians with him today. Together, they make up the Robin Wood Trio. Claudia is going to share a bit more about the recorder, and Alan a bit more about the program at SMT. Then Janet will join them to play for us. So, Claudia and Alan.
Too much stuff, too few hands. Here we go.
Can I help hold anything for you? Can I hold that? Can I hold the pipe thing?
I think I'm good. Thank you. Oh, it is such a blessing to be here with all of you. This is such a lovely church. The joy is just really thick, and God, celebrating God's love, gift of love with you is awesome, and the gift of music that God gives us also, to be able to celebrate that with you is truly a blessing. Thank you very much. I'm just going to share a couple, because I saw almost every hand go up when Alan said, has anybody played the recorder? And so I just have a couple of, you know, fun facts about the recorder to share with you. And so I noticed we honored the indigenous ancestors who came before us. And so I'm going to share with you the fact that the recorder is probably one of the most ancient instruments on the planet. And it has been found in the caves. Our cave-dwelling ancestors were making and playing recorders while they were painting those beautiful cave paintings of bison and horses. They were tootling on this little flute. And so it goes all the way back to that time. And like us, it has evolved. So we have evolved along with this instrument. And over the years, it has grown in size with some modifications. So it has become more versatile. We can now play all kinds of music. And music is being written right now, 2024, for this ancient instrument. And it's been made out of not just the bone, the original instrument was made out of, but metal and stone and glass and plastic, which is going down to Santa Maria Teja. And it has been elongated, and the shape of the hole inside has been changed so that it's an extremely expressive instrument now and can play a nice range, as Alan demonstrated, of notes. And actually, the modern ones that I'm going to play has keys, and will play even another octave above that. So science, engineering is tweaking this ancient instrument. And we can do all kinds of special effects with it. We can make fluttering sounds. We can bend the pitch so we can play jazz. We can electrify it. There is a nice modern version that gets plugged into amps and synthesizers, so you can play, you know, heavy metal with a rock band with this instrument. So there are no barriers to what you can do with this wonderful, wonderful gift of our ancestors, and the gift of music always from God. Truly, truly fun. So that's kind of fun. When you look at that little instrument now, you can see it in a much more expansive way. I'm just going to hold up two extreme examples here. So this is a little one. So they run from even smaller than this. And this one is in plastic, but it's modeled after one that was made out of horn. So again, our forebears were very creative. They didn't have plastic, but they used bone and horn. And then this one is not the biggest one. There is a contrabass, which is over 8 feet long, okay? So even I don't think my arm even reaches up for 8 feet, but this is just a bass recorder. But you can already see that there's a big difference in the size. And so, again, just this wonderful, wonderful variety. And this one has keys on it, which allow you to put the holes further apart and be able to get more sound out of it. So the last thing I'll share about this instrument is we all call it the recorder. I have no idea how that came to be. I haven't done that research, but I'll tell you, the fact that we're taking this down to Guatemala, it's truly an international instrument already. And so it has many different names, many aliases. And so one name for this instrument in French is a flûte à bec, which means beaked flute. And you can see that this looks kind of like a beak. So hence the name beaked flute. It's also known as a fipple flute. And the fipple is this little cut here. And that you can see on any whistle, penny whistle, or the recorders. All the recorders have that. And that it does nice physics thing where it splits the air that you blow here. It splits it. Half of it goes in the tube. Half of it goes out. The stuff going in the tube vibrates, and then you have sound. Without that opening, you don't get any sound, amazingly. When you're playing a transverse flute, you're splitting that air by blowing across the lip hole, okay? So that's what's splitting it. Well, it needs to be split. The recorder is also called, very logically, the end-blown flute, because you blow it on the end instead of across. So end-blown flute. In Spanish, it's la flauta dulce, the sweet flute, because it does indeed have a very sweet sound. The German word is Blockflute. And so you can call it any of those things, and they're all appropriate. So I hope you enjoy our little musical offering. And thank you very much for the blessing of being able to participate in worship with you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm going to briefly describe the project the Guatemala Partnership has in bringing these recorders to Santa Maria at Ceja, and the sort of origin and rationale of that project. Oh, by the way, the flute I was playing today is one that we're bringing down, so that they look like this. This is one. So I've been to Santa Maria at Ceja several times, and one time I went into a music class in which they were teaching recorder, and the kids, they don't have this size recorder. They have the recorder you're probably more familiar with, the soprano recorder. Right, it's a little bit shorter. Plays a higher pitch, but each kid brought in whatever soprano recorder they could get, and no two recorders are the same unless they're the same make. So some of these recorders were high in pitch, some were low in pitch, some had Baroque fingerings, some had German fingerings, and so when the class was playing a tune, it sounded like a very contemporary music, where all the pitches are discordant, it's dissonant, and if you've ever, I'm sure your parents have told you when you were kids how it sounded, right? Especially those soprano recorders, shrieking in the high notes. So that's part of the rationale from bringing down the recorders that we're bringing down. We're bringing down what are called alto recorders, a bit bigger, so their sound is more mellifluous, right? It's a sweeter sound, it's lower pitch. But another important thing is they're all of the same make, so they will all have the same pitch. And it's also the recorder that is most popular in music, most widely played, especially in the Baroque era, was the recorder of this size. It's very close to the transverse flute. Now, why the recorder? So Santa Maria Tseha has a marimba. They have some guitars and recorders. The marimba is the national instrument, as I said. It's a very expensive instrument to make, so that the town can only have one. They have several guitars. They have the same problem with the guitars as they did with the soprano recorders. You know, easy to go out of pitch because they're wood. And they have recorders. So we're bringing these down because for two reasons, really. In the schools here, what do kids play? They play all kinds of things: flute, clarinet, saxophone, violin, trombone, all these instruments. But those are simply too expensive for the families in Santa Maria Tseha. The one instrument that is affordable is the flute, or the recorder, the flauta, which they is what they call it. Now, another advantage of this is it's plastic. It's very durable, needs no maintenance. It won't, the heat will not wreck it. And you know, if you have a wooden instrument, you have to be very careful about the humidity and the temperature. With these plastic recorders, you don't. They're foolproof. So we're bringing down, the idea is we would bring down one for every student. So as they pass through middle school, where this is taught, each student will be able to get a recorder, and it'll be theirs, so they can keep it. And the hope is that the music in Santa Maria will be better, because everything will be in pitch. But also, kids will have access to a real instrument. This is the one I play the most. It's plastic. So a real instrument. And these recorders cost $60 each. So for a price of $60, a student can get a recorder that will last indefinitely. And so part of the idea of the project is we'll start bringing recorders down, one for each student, until every student who goes through the middle school has a recorder. And so the other part of this fundraising is that you can sponsor a recorder for a kid by chipping in $60 to the Guatemala Partners for Education nonprofit. And so that's the project. So one more thing. This is an experiment this year. This is the first year we're bringing these down. Maybe it won't work, but we're going to find out. And if it does, then we'll be back next year. All right. So thank you very much.
While Alan and Claudia and Janet get ready for our anthem, music is such an important part of our life at FCC Natick, and it's such a joy to think about the young people of Santa Maria Tseja making music together. As Alan said, this is an ongoing project. Every year there will be new students, so there will be new recorders traveling to Guatemala. And as Alan said, each one costs $60. If you would like to sponsor a recorder, you can see Jeff C. He'll give you all the scoop about that. All of these relationships and collaborations are made possible by your generosity, including this congregation's support of our friends in SMT. So here are offering music this morning as a celebration and a thank you.
Thank you.
God of abundance, bless these gifts and the ways in which they will bring your justice, compassion, and peace to the world. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 520, Restless Weaver. Beloved, may the truth that sets us free, the hope that never dies, and the love that casts out all fear be with us now and all the days of our lives. Go in peace. Amen.